Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. This is the role of this radio show. It is part of your truth of diet, okay? I recommend that you listen to other radio show hosts who are perhaps more inclined towards study and information, like Suzanne Posel's lovely broadcast, Hardline, with Suzanne Posel, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time. No, actually, it's 3 till 5 p.m. Central time, 1 till 3 Pacific. And you can check out the archives of that at OccupyCorporatism.com, can't you? /hardline or...
Yes, there's a YouTube channel. So if you missed it, we turn it into a YouTube video so you can watch it there.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Now, it's also it's a lot of work, and people don't actually realize just how much work goes into it. I mean, the night before last, I was up till 6 o'clock in the morning. I got to see the sunrise because I was up so late working. Last night, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning, up working. All right. And I only do a 2 hour radio show a day. Okay. That's assuming that's the only show that I do that day. And I've also got a whole bunch of other radio shows that I go on. And public meetings. I've got a shockingly large quantity, just like a stack of hard drives full of public meetings. I think there's about 3 or 4 or 5 of them maybe that I haven't edited yet, you know, because I've just been too freaking busy, which will change, hopefully, if I get my new computer. And that's a big if. I need you, ladies and gentlemen, to help me get that computer by giving me $300. All right, here's why. I spent, like, more money than I had on this computer. I had a big donation come in from a very generous listener named James, and the problem was by the time that cash got to me, the computer that was a really good deal that we were going to get in the first place was already sold. So there was nothing else comparable. So I decided to shell out an extra few $100 that I received in donations in order to pay the excess for this new computer, and it wound up costing me like well over $2,000, including postage of like $600 or something, including like taxes that you got to pay to the US government in order to export something that's worth more than a couple of $100. You see what I'm saying? And then once it gets here to New Zealand, after paying all of that, then customs gives me a ring and says, hey, we've got this computer here. Now you need to sign this form, give us your passport details and such and blah, 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 blah. And you have to pay 15% tax on this thing that you've already paid an exorbitant amount to get shipped to pay the tax in order to get it exported. And then now you have to pay tax again in order to import it. And the price tag on that is $300. So if, and until that is paid, and I don't have the money because I just spent all the last of it on trying to buy this freaking computer. So now I'm dry. And so I've got a computer being held hostage by customs until somebody sees fit to send $300 my way. And so I can pay off these extortionist hostage takers. Like, you just imagine, you know, holding up my Mac with a copy of today's paper with like, I don't know, a magnet pointed at it, at its hard drive or something like that.
Give us the money or we will erase it.
So please... Listener, please, if you're listening to this broadcast, I desperately need that computer. And I need it, like, today. All right? In fact, I've needed it for months and months and months. But as soon as I get it, mate, it's going to make my work a hell of a lot easier. Because this computer that I'm working right now is big, it's beefy, it's fast and what have you, but it's not what I need. I need something even better. In fact, I just need a separate computer as well, so I can do two things at once. That would be beautiful. So go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, donate today, preferably through the Kiwi Bank account, right? Because that money gets in there instantly, whereas PayPal, it takes nearly a working week to transfer. So if you could help me out in that way, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, you'll see a hell of a lot more work coming out of me. Like I said, I'm normally up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, editing this stuff. I should be able to cut that time down rather significantly if I have two computers to work from. That way, if one's importing footage or processing a video, I can actually just switch to the other computer and continue doing the audio archiving and the website updating and the social media plastering and stuff that I do when I've got the opportunity. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. If you've got 300 on you, please donate that. And if even more money comes in than what I'm expecting, all the more better, because I'm broke either way. I just paid my rent and the bank accounts are down to like pretty much nothing. I need my new computer and I need my rent paid. So please donate today. And thank you so much for those of you who do. It's very humbling, actually. And I was just thinking how grateful I am to all this support. And it's just, I've had so many conversations with the listeners who are donators on like email, Facebook, Skype, phone calls, that kind of thing. And the thing that I notice is common about you all of you people that donate, is your salt of the earth characters, right? The kind of people that you can actually vibe with, the kind of people you can actually sit around and have a few drinks with, the kind of people you could go around to their house and have dinner with them and their kids and that sort of thing. Honourable, decent, good-natured, good-humoured, well-adjusted people. The fact that that kind of person is who is motivated to donate to me is extraordinary to me. It's very, very humbling, as I say. So thank you very much, all of you, for all your support over these many, many years that I've been exposing scumbaggery, because I couldn't really do it without all that support. You know, this show just wouldn't exist. I don't know what I'd do, honestly. I've put all my eggs in one basket. It's kind of why I'm a bit of a basket case, I guess. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest from OccupyCorporatism.com. Now, the problem with terrorism is that it doesn't exist, okay? I said only, not that it doesn't exist. Technically, it does exist because it's a system of government. No, I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the dictionary, okay? If you've got a Google or something like that, Google definition. Terrorism, a system of government that uses threats and intimidation in order to get the people to do what it wants. Whoa. That's called a terrorist state. Terrorism is a form of government. The form of government which we are currently ruled by, in my opinion. All right. People say, oh, no, Vinny, the government doesn't intimidate and threaten people. Really? Do you pay taxes? Well, yeah, but... Did you volunteer to pay those taxes? Well, no, I didn't. Did you by chance ask them, can I, you know, opt out of paying these taxes that I never volunteered for? No, I didn't. Well, that's because you're intimidated by them, because if you stop paying those fraudulent extortion fees to the government, they'll come and take a big wet bite out of your ass. Okay, you go to jail. You get persecuted, prosecuted, the whole nine yards. You're a slave. Okay, you're a slave. It's just that simple. As Mark Passio said, statism is slavery. If you have a state, that intimidates people and gets them to do stuff and what have you against their will, it's a terrorist state, and you are a slave of that terrorist state. Okay? Here's how. A real slave has 100% of the product of their labor given to somebody else. A semi-slave who doesn't realize they're a slave gives 50% of their labor forced without their consent, 30% of their labor forced without consent through taxation and what have you, which you can't get out of. Huh? He's still a slave. The thing that is the commonality of the slave is not the percentage of the income that is taken off you by force without you having any recompense for it. It's the fact that you don't have a choice. That's why we're slaves. It's pretty straightforward when you think about it in those terms. And modern serfdom, modern slavery, has become the function of debt. Debt is the methodology by which we can all be sold into slavery without even knowing about it. And I don't know, Suzanne, what's the US debt clock up to now? You know, there's the public debt clock.
17 trillion.
See, that's the public debt clock. And if you actually had like a real debt clock, it'd have to be like 10 times as wide, you know, like to fit all those extra digits for quadrillions and what have you, because there is so, so much unbelievable debt. I mean, seriously. Try this in a room full of people, like at a party or something. Hey, everybody, put your hands up if you don't have any debt. You see, like, one fist in the air. All right, get him! he doesn't have any debt. He must be free.
Get him a credit card. Give him a cell phone.
Yeah. You know, he has to text and park, motherfucker.
Offer him a loan. Give him a loyalty card, 5% off.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm in debt at this point in time. I haven't really been able to pay it off for like the last 6 years because I'm an activist. You know, activists paying off their debts with money that they earn.
You're paying off debt that doesn't exist with money that isn't real. Think about that one.
Yeah, it's a game of Monopoly, isn't it? The problem is, in this game of Monopoly, people do get evicted. People do lose their homes. People do lose their jobs. People do lose their lives. All right?
Unless they go and get some friends and sit out on the front lawn and block the foreclosure. Unless they seek out the foreclosure, there's a small knit group of attorneys across the country who are fighting foreclosures and winning and setting precedent in their state to then be used by other attorneys in other state as secondary sources of law, which is, you know, that's your right. So as long as we are resisting, no, absolutely, but we're not. How many times have you heard about a foreclosure and you didn't even think to get in your car and get your friends in the car instead of going shopping to go sit out in the front lawn and make sure that grandma doesn't lose her house? Her husband just died a year ago. Or this family of five don't lose their house who have been so wonderful in the neighborhood. You're a sitting duck too. Are you a homeowner? Do you rent? You're either one or the other. And guess what? Everything's mortgaged. So if you're living in a complex and they lose their mortgage, guess what? Everybody moves out. If you're renting a home from someone, everybody moves out. If you lose your home, everybody moves out until we don't comply, until we stop complying. We say no. The mortgage was fraudulent. The agreement was fraudulent. The way in which it was processed through the MERS system was completely fraudulent. No, you can't take this. We held up our contractual end of the agreement. You broke this contract. That means that by default, I own the property. It's mine.
Yeah. Hey, there's an awful lot of solutions, and I found that this is actually the great part about the system, is that the elite are a bunch of liars and cheats. Okay. So they've figured out a system whereby they can lie to everybody and cheat everybody and nobody will realize that there was a lie in the first place. If you find out what the lie is, then you can cheat the elite. In fact, that'd be a great website, don't you think? Don't you think, Suzanne? A website where you compile all the ways to get out of your taxes, your foreclosures, called cheattheelite.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Every way that we can be civil disobedience, if I can conjugate it that way, we should be. This is not conducive in America to a constitutional republic. And any country that has a constitution, it has foundations. And so it should be returned to those moral foundations that help the people.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking to myself yesterday, you know what the problem with the United States is? It's not its constitution. It's the fact that it's not being followed.
Yes, that is the problem. It's sitting there in a glass case in a flipping museum, and people are looking at it. They can't read it because it's written in cursive, and we don't teach cursive in the classrooms anymore. But it's sitting there like it's a flipping relic, and it's alive. It's not a dead document.
Hmm. Well, I think that wants me to that makes me want to utter quite a few cursives, but you know, I'll leave that to the FCC-regulated radio shows that I'm on.
But our idea of what we have is so far removed from what we the potential that's sitting in that glass case that was already written out, that has every natural right covered, that makes no differential between what is infringement and what is not, and exactly what you have the right to do. And it's amendable. So you can change it as you go along. Oh, the Constitution is old and it was written in 1776 and it doesn't apply to our new technological age. Then we have the ability to put amendments in there. We can change it. We can allow it to grow with our society.
Yeah. So long as you keep to the core principles, okay? It's the interpretation of the Constitution where the United States has gone awry. Those who have a conservative interpretation of the Constitution just claim that they're conservative, when the reality is they actually have a very liberal interpretation of the Constitution. This is the reason why it has been subverted. This is the reason why so many amendments have been changed and so on and so forth. Technically, all of those rights and everything that you're supposed to have as an individual citizen in a constitutional republic are still there, if only you would claim them back as your right. We'll be right back.